Stay tuned as Dr. Gary Hedrick discusses the Hebrew names of God today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. This is Liz Aiello. Today, our speaker is Dr. Gary Hedrick, and his subject is the Hebrew names of God. What do these names mean? What do they tell us about God? And how do his names relate to each of us personally? These are some of the questions during the course of this study on the Hebrew names of God. I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. Now, with today's study, here is Dr. Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of the program. It's good to have you with us today as we continue our series of studies dealing with the Hebrew names of God. We've been talking about the names of God that include El. Today we come to the ninth of those construct names, as they're called, and that is El HaKavod, which means God of glory. It's found in Psalm 29, verse 3, where David says, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, the God of glory, El HaKavod, thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters." Now, this Hebrew word, kavod, is very interesting. Most people think it means glory in the sense of majesty or praise, but it actually means much more than that. Kavod comes from a root that means heavy or dense. It describes the very presence of God, or what the ancient rabbis called the Shekinah, in the book of Exodus. When the Israelites were out in the wilderness, a cloud led them in the daytime and a pillar of fire at night. That was the Shekinah, or the glorious presence of God. In the wilderness, there was a place where the Israelites could meet with the Lord while they were building the tabernacle before it was finished. They called it the Tent of Meeting. And it was just that, a tent that Moses and Joshua had pitched just outside the camp. When anyone had a question, when they needed to inquire of the Lord, they could go to the Tent of Meeting. It says in Exodus 33 that whenever Moses would go into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at the entrance of that tent while the Lord spoke with Moses. So whenever the people saw the cloud hovering in front of the entrance, they knew that Moses was inside. And it says something quite remarkable there in Exodus 33, because it says in verse 11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." Isn't that amazing? They were friends. There was none of this phony spirituality stuff in the prayers of Moses. You know, like, "O thou Lord God, ancient of days, who inhabitest the praises of his people." Some of those fancy, flowery prayers don't get any higher than the ceiling. When Moses got together with the Lord there in the Tent of Meeting, it was more like two friends talking. "How did it go today, Moses?" "Oh, Lord, you wouldn't believe it. These people are something else. I just don't know if we're going to make it to the promised land." "Oh, really, Moses? Tell me about it." That's how they talked, like best friends. Then one day, Moses asks the Lord. He says, "Lord, show me your glory." That's that word kavod, or glory. "Show me your glory." So the Lord takes Moses and places him under the cleft of a rock. And then the glory of God, the Shekinah, passes by. But even then, Moses has to be shielded by the hand of God. He is not allowed to see God's face. He can only see his back, because he says no one can see the face of God and live. Later, the Bible also says that when Moses came down from speaking with the Lord on Mount Sinai, his face was aglow with the radiance of the Shekinah, just from being in God's presence for so long. Just think, Moses had asked God to show him his glory, and now here he was, reflecting that same glory. Later, he had to put a veil over his face so the Israelites would not see that the glow of God's glory was fading. Moses was afraid that if they could see the glow fading from his face, they would think he had lost the anointing or that he had displeased God. So he wore a veil so they could not see the glow fading away. Then you see the Shekinah in the New Testament too. You see it first in the Star of Bethlehem, just as it had guided Israel through the wilderness, that pillar of fire, which from a distance would have looked exactly like a star, guided the Magi to the birthplace of the Messiah. The prophet Ezekiel, in the Old Testament, had shown the glory departing from the temple. But in the New Testament, it returned, but this time not to the temple, but to a simple manger in Bethlehem. You also see the Shekinah on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's when the humble carpenter from Nazareth was transfigured before Peter, James, and John so they could see the glory that he had with the Father before the world was. It says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, that when he was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Now notice, it says his face shone like the sun. Have you ever tried to look directly at the sun? I hope not, because it can damage your eyes. That's why whenever there's an eclipse, they always tell us not to look directly at the sun, because it's dangerous. So when Mattatyahu says that Jesus' face shone like the sun, he was telling us that they couldn't look upon the face of Jesus in his glorified state. It was like trying to look directly at the sun. That is exactly what happened to Moses 1,500 years before. He wasn't allowed to look upon God's face. In fact, it says that Moses and Elijah were there on the Mount of Transfiguration talking with Jesus. Matthew 17:3, "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him." So when Jesus was transfigured into his glorified state, what do you think Moses said? Do you think he said, "I remember you. We were best friends. And I saw your glory on Mount Sinai when you hid me there in the cleft of the rock. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, for bringing me here today." And finally, the New Testament mentions the Shekinah in connection with prophecy. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus for the sign, singular, the sign of his coming. They wanted some indication that would enable them to know when the Lord was coming back. But in his answer, Jesus gives them two signs. One is an earthly sign, and the other is a heavenly sign. The earthly sign, of course, is the budding of the fig tree, which is the restoration of national Israel in the last days. So if that's the earthly sign, what is the heavenly sign? Matthew 24:29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Verse 30. "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn." Now watch this. Here's the sign. He says, "And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." These are not just atmospheric clouds, my friend, but celestial clouds, clouds of glory, great glory, that accompany him, that attend him upon his return. That is the sign of the Son of Man. He comes in clouds of glory. He came into this world accompanied by the Shekinah, which we know as the Star of Bethlehem. And he left this world in a cloud of glory, Acts 1:9. But before he left, he told the high priest and the members of the Sanhedrin, representing national Israel, he said, "Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, he cometh with what? With clouds, and every eye shall see him." 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So the sign of the coming of the Son of Man is that we shall see him in the Shekinah glory of the Old Testament. That is how the Jewish nation will recognize him, when they see the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, for the first time in more than 2,500 years. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, Zechariah 12:10. And when they see him and they receive him, Romans 11:26 says, "All Israel shall be saved." That is at the end of the tribulation period. Here is how one preacher described it many years ago. "He is coming with clouds, moving like golden chariots beneath him, as he rides upon the wings of the wind. He is coming in clouds, with glory above the splendor of the noonday sun, a sunburst of resplendent radiance from his presence. He is coming in clouds, the insignia of power that shall fasten upon him the astonished gaze of all mankind." And so again, we have a name that refers to the Messiah, El HaKavod, God of Glory. That is how the Jewish nation will recognize him someday, when they shall see his glory. By the way, they are looking for the glory. Many Orthodox Jews today believe that when they rebuild the temple, the Messiah will return with the Shekinah. So they are watching and waiting, and someday, maybe soon, they will see him. Well, that's all of our time for today, and that is El HaKavod, God of Glory. Until next time, this is Gary Hedrick saying, God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary, and thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. We've been listening to Dr. Gary Hedrick, our Bible teacher, here on Messianic Perspectives. If you're enjoying Dr. Hedrick's presentation on the Hebrew names of God, you'll be glad to know that we've placed this entire series on three compact discs. The set is available for your gift of just $18 or more to help us keep this program on your station. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series on the Hebrew names of God, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.